All right, here we are wrapping up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this final segment, I wanted to highlight some major news that came out of a company that we have followed on the website for a while now, Maple Gold Mines. I posted this interview back on Thursday when the news first broke of the JV that just happened with Agnico Eagle. In this segment, I am replaying that segment. It is a longer interview, so everybody on the weekend show, please visit our website, kereport.com, and click on the weekend show posting for the full interview. Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Maple Gold Mines, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol MGM and on the OTCQB under the symbol MGMLF. I'm chatting with the President and CEO, Matthew Horner, as well as the VP of Exploration, Fred Spiedel. Now, guys, we have a very significant news release to cover off here that was just released this morning. It's a transaction with Agnico Eagle, a JV that has a couple moving parts to it. There is a contribution from Agnico Eagle in terms of funds and also a past producing mine that is directly to the south of the Douay Gold Project. Now, I will post a link to the press release, but Matthew, let's get you on first. Please explain some of the nuances of this deal when it comes to financing and now this JV between Maple and Agnico Eagle, please.
Yeah, happy to do so. We're very excited about welcoming Agnico Eagle, the number one gold producer in Quebec, as our strategic partner. It is due mostly to the hard effort of Dr. Fred Spiedel, who's on the line with us and driving this project so perfectly as he has been and getting his arms around the geology and the way he has done. So my hat's off to him and the rest of the team. We've been working with Agnico Eagle and others who have come to site and looked at the geology for 18 months at least. And so this is not a project or a deal that's been consummated overnight. That should be noted. And I'll go through the terms. I think this news is already out now in the market, so people can read about this on their own if they have an interest in doing so. But these guys are the project operators with Yamana at Canadian Malartic. Malartic was a restart of an old mine that in its day, before it got restarted, no one ever thought was going to work. Joutel is a project that they're contributing to the joint venture, which we have a binding term sheet, which we announced today, that establishes that we will contribute the Douay project and they will contribute Joutel into this joint venture. That project was a past producer. It produced over 1 million ounces. The grades were, I believe, upwards of 6 grams. And they shut down in a price environment of about $300 gold in the 90s. There are three areas of production. I'll let Fred speak to that in a minute. And we think there was a lot left behind there, and we're really excited about looking closer at that, getting all the information digitized, and getting our arms around that and getting after it sometime in 2021. So that's their contribution of a project into this joint venture. In addition to that, they are making a strategic investment into Maple Gold at the corporate level at a significant premium. I think it's almost 50% premium to our 20-day or 30-day VWAP, and at 100% premium on the warrant that we're giving them to get to 19.9%. It's a 3-year warrant that has acceleration clauses after 2 years. So that's what's happening as a strategic investment into our company to get as a sign of confidence in us and what we're doing. And in addition, they're going to be contributing $18 million over 4 years in exploration that'll go directly into the ground. They're contributing their technical expertise as joint through their joint operatorship of the joint venture. Fred Spiedel will be the general manager of the joint venture. Both companies get to retain an 2% NSR in the projects that they're contributing to the joint venture, which gives credit for the ounces that we have already established at Douay in the inferred category. And there's a $40 million price tag to associate with buying that out. So we're getting holding back that credit for our shareholders that have stuck with us up until this point. On top of that, there's project finance support that they're going to be providing to us down the road, so that once we get, and we expect to get it in what X number of years to the point where we can move forward with development, we're going to have a strong partner sitting next to us, shoulder to shoulder in front of the project finance partners and the capital markets, et cetera, to help us actually get underway and start doing some things, as we are the smaller party, of course, in this transaction. So those are the main points. I think I can mention that after after we've completed the closing of the initial strategic financing, our picture changes from today, where we have $6.5 million or so in the treasury, to after this closes, we'll have just under $13 million in the treasury and $18 million. Going into the ground. So we go from $6.5 million to almost $31 million overnight. And I think we have also established the best partner, I believe, on planet Earth for us to be working with to drive both of these projects forward. They know more about Quebec and the Abitibi and producing gold than literally anybody else, because they're the largest producer there and they've been in the area for so long. I'm more than overjoyed that we've been finally able to get a project partner in there like them. They would be considered our dream date at the dance, so to speak, because of all the things I mentioned. And now it's just a matter of getting on with it and letting her rip.
Yeah, we'll get to Fred soon. But Matthew, it's clear that you're excited about this deal, and I understand why. This really does, I think, remove a lot of doubt that was in some investors' and analysts' eyes when it came to the Douay project, because of the fact there wasn't a major on site when you already had a fairly nice resource. Can you discuss, again, this high-level concept of having a major now putting money into the project, but also contributing a project that is immediately adjacent to the Douay project? What does this mean for potential scale and size?
Well, as I've said a number of times in other interviews, this has been the game plan from the day I started. We had Japanese parties that I'd known for a long time. They were at the table, you know, a couple of years ago, but it wasn't right at the time to go forward with them. But I've always maintained that the best way forward for this project is to have somebody who knows how to build mines up there and has the balance sheet, et cetera, to be our partners. It's what this project has always needed. And I believe that now, given their knowledge base and now voting with their checkbook, that they believe in not just us, but the project, I believe the hearts and minds of the investor community should change quickly and rapidly, and will change as a result. So this is what it needed from the beginning. This is what we've been working, what I've been working on since day one. It's a team effort, and we're overjoyed that it's come together in this fashion.
All right, Fred, let's bring you into this conversation, because I want to first just get your thoughts on this project that Agnico Eagle is contributing, the Zitel project. I understand it's made up of a number of different deposits, three deposits. It was in production, but that was stopped a couple decades ago. Can you share with us some of your insights on this new project to the JV?
It's pretty exciting for us to be able to combine the two series of deposits into the same project. And, you know, as many people will tell you, there's no better place to look for new deposits than in the shadow of a headframe, or where a headframe used to be. And I think that's the situation at Eagle's Hellbelt. So basically there's three deposits that are aligned, so they're on the same structure. And you have a progressive deepening of the mineralization towards the southeast. So at the northwest end, we have a small open pit, and then we have two deposit areas that were accessed underground. And so that's all been rehabbed. But keeping in mind that at the time of closure of the mine in 1993, price of gold was around $360, and the cutoffs that would have been used would have been very much higher than the cutoffs that one might use today. So it's important to note, therefore, that the expiration potential on the Eagle Talbel or Joutel property, if you wish, is significant in two ways. One is additional resources around and down plunge of what was exploited in the past. And I think just even a preliminary look at the data shows that the down plunge continuity is very much open to depth. That's a common theme in Abitibi gold deposits, in the sense that historically production was, you know, in the upper reaches. Additional exploration showed that these things carry on for a long time, down plunge or down the dip. There's a number of good examples of that. So I think there's very good potential to define additional resources around the past producing areas. But beyond that, to the east of the Eagle Talbel mines, there's one branch of the deformation zone, which is called the Joutel deformation zone, that has not had a whole lot of exploration. So there's quite a lot of potential there. There are some historical holes that have given some interesting gold intercepts. And a recent review of some of the core from down there showed that there are, as is also the case at Douay, multiple styles of mineralization along that structure. And that structure, which is called the Joutel deformation zone, then swings back up to the north onto the Douay property, where it has had no historical drilling whatsoever. So I think there's lots of potential, not only on the Joutel property itself, but what the geological implications are in terms of understanding what the story is in general for the distribution of gold on the property. So we're pretty excited about, you know, looking at targets at that scale, and in particular, of course, to be able to bring our minds together between Maple Gold and Agnico Eagle and grow the deposits, not just by expanding what we already have at Douay, but by finding new systems on the Joutel property.
Now, because this deal also eliminates really any financing risk for at least 4 years, with a funding minimum of $18 million over those 4 years, plus puts even more money in the Maple Gold's bank account. Fred, what do you see in terms of work and exploration happening at Douay to continue to move that project forward now with Agnico Eagle as a partner?
Yeah, I think it's very important to point out that the this transaction provides for significant continuity from year to year. And so that it allows us to do more long-range planning than has been possible with, you know, in the current market conditions where you never really know how the financing is going to work out. So with regard to the Douay property itself, Agnico are very, very interested in the exploration potential on there. And, you know, the main reason that I joined the company originally was precisely because, in addition to having a significant gold resource, it also was very significant exploration potential. And I would say that, if anything, at this point in time, compared to when I, you know, first started with the company, even though we've tested a number of targets and actually come up with some discoveries, notably in the Nico Zone and 531 area, we still have more target areas to test now than we had, you know, a couple of years ago. And some of those targets that we're talking about, they're pretty major in scale. And so we're talking about, you know, infill and short distance step out drilling around the existing resource, but we're also talking about longer distance step outs in areas that have seen very little drilling before. And basically, that approach has allowed us to make new discoveries, notably in 2018 and 2019 drilling. And then beyond that, we also have, I would call that discovery drilling, you know, up to a couple, 2 to 4 kilometers away from the current resource, but along, you know, similar geological packages or similar structural trends. One notable example being the Northeast IP target, where we plan to do some drilling later this fall. So again, to repeat, there's by analogy with the Joutel property itself, there's a near resource or near mine potential that's significant, and then there's a step out potential, and then there's discovery potential. And basically, we will be moving all three of those forward as part of this JV arrangement with Agnico.
All right, Matthew, I'm going to throw it over to you for a final comment. Just so everyone knows, I am a shareholder of Maple Gold. So to me, this is a very exciting transaction that really helps to tick off a lot of boxes that I know some of my listeners were even sending me, saying, well, what about the financing risk? What are they going to do to keep moving this company and project forward Now it's a lot more of a comprehensive picture. So please just give us a little summary of how much this does change the company and the future plans.
Well, first of all, lucky you for being a shareholder. I think that I applaud all the people, and I thank everyone for being shareholders and supporters up until this point. This is transformational in every way. We have a platform now with an established, maybe the best partner you could ask for. I believe the best partner on the planet to help us drive these both these projects forward. We've removed all the financing risk that you could imagine from the corporate end and the project side. We have more incredible targets than you could ever dream of. It's kind of like a kid in a candy shop for Fred to now go after and pick apart and drill this project properly. I think we are a completely different company now, a completely different company. And with that, when with that platform now in place, I think we will have a re-rating, or we should, if people are paying attention and they realize, you know, how difficult and how important this is, when they realize, I should say. And then, you know, we are at liberty to go hunting and go shopping ourselves if we have a currency that is valuable, which I think we will. There are many targets out there and other people that we can pursue and go after and have conversations with. So I think it's just the beginning of building a proper, important, relevant gold platform, Canada's next gold platform. It's starting now with this combination. And I think that if you look no further than the Joutel project and the Eagle Talbell mine, to say that, you know, where did Agnico Eagle start? Well, they started at this project. You know, every company starts with one solid project. Goldcorp, Agnico, et cetera. This is our moment. This is our day. And if you look back on this interview many years from now, I think it'll be quite telling that this is the moment that things finally changed and allowed us to grow to our full potential.
All right, we are going to leave it at that. As I mentioned, I am a shareholder of Maple Gold Mines. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Fred or for Matthew, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. We will continue to follow along and address any questions that come in on the back of this transaction. Guys, I really appreciate your time today. Well done getting this deal done and really transforming the company and alleviating or eliminating a bunch of those risks that were floating around a lot of investors' minds. So Matthew, Fred, thank you again for your time today.
Thank you, Corey.
Thank you.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.